Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Tonight, we're talking about ADHD motivation tips. Salt the hay. And with us in our virtual studio is John Wilson, the president and head of SOAR, which we'll talk about in a little bit more detail as we kind of get on. But real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, January the 11th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some announcements. The ADHD Women Palooza event is coming up. This is their second year of hosting this virtual conference. It's being held from February the 6th to the 11th. It's hosted by Linda Rogley and Terry Maitland, both very, very good friends of mine. They both have been on these shows. And I think they got 35 experts. They're going to be talking about ADHD from a woman's perspective. I'm grateful. I mean, I'm truly grateful that they've invited me to participate, and I credit anything that I say and those things to all the spectacular guests that I've learned from, John included tonight, in that webinar or telesummit, if you will. To learn more, go to ADHDpalooza, that's PALOOZA.com. Again, there's 35 experts, and I think we've interviewed 25 of the 35, so I have to kind of like promote it. Also, I continue to promote ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. That's at the risk of Dr. Barkley. He's been very good to us and on the show. And so that's it with those announcements. One of our proud moments, or one of the things that makes us the most happy, is the continuous of Chad's support in our endeavor over the years. And tonight's show is being brought to you by Chad, and they've got a tip for you that we want to play real quick, and then we'll get on with the show. So here we go.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunchboxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHAD website, www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
And thank you again, Chad, for bringing this show to our listeners out there and for that tip. So let's get into tonight's show. It's about ADHD motivational tips, salting the hay. You know, I love this title, of which John's the brainchild. You know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, but you can salt the hay to make them thirsty, and that's a little bit of our theme tonight. But real quickly about John, he's received his bachelor degree in sociology from Texas State University and completed his master's of science in outdoor therapeutic recreation administration at George Williams College in Aurora University in 1993. He spent more than 20 years working in youth programs with the emphasis on youth diagnosed with LD and ADHD. He became the director of LD and ADHD services for SOAR in 1994. He's led hundreds of adventure courses in several states, as well as Costa Rica and Belize. He's an immediate past president of the Learning Disabilities Association of North Carolina and serves on the national board of CHAD, of which I think he's got a couple months left of his three-year tenure, and we're always grateful for anybody who serves on that board for giving their time to come together to advocate for the ADHD community. He's an adjunct professor at Western Carolina University and Mars Hill College. He's teaching outdoor recreation, therapeutic recreation, and leadership courses. He's certified in wilderness first responder, lifeguard instructor, CPR instructor, PADI rescue diver, state licensed recreation therapist, and nationally certified therapeutic recreation specialist. And he's a speaker nationally because I've seen him. He does great some stuff. And so with all that, John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. What a thorough introduction.
Well, it's a thorough introduction, but we're going to go a little bit further because this is ADHD Front Row and Central. And John is – it is wintertime, I want to remind you, and John's in North Carolina, and he is jam-packed his day, And because he's going to go whitewater rafting or kayaking or something tomorrow in North Carolina. I remind you, it's January. It's winter time, and he's going to go on a river in the middle of the mountains in North Carolina. He's crazy. And he's getting that in because he's got to get his rest before he goes to Costa Rica at the end of this week on another adventure. So hats off to you, John. You're welcome to be off of your game and stressed out. So, because this is all ADHD, and we welcome you. So, again, we're anxious to get into the topic. Fair enough?
All right. Yeah, jump in.
So I want to kind of frame this out. I had an interview with Melissa Orlov a couple months ago, actually at the CHAD conference for Attention Dog Video, and it kind of occurred to me that ADHD is such a self-regulation issue for those with ADHD. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about and sing my praise over Dr. Barkley for kind of bringing that to our attention. And I think tonight is really about self-regulation for the parents. And I think if you listen to the fundamentals of this, you can actually begin to identify with your ADHD child in terms of motivation, because it is the ability to pause and use your brain to override automatic behavior to change your behavior. And parents so often are working with kids, and that notion of just yelling and screaming at your child to try to get them to do something and saying they're not motivated, it takes a level of self-regulation for you to pause and override those instincts. And I think John's got some spectacular things to help you pause, catch your breath, and begin to pay attention to what's going on. And you know us, you know, Attention Talk Radio, we're all about paying attention to attention, and give you some things so that you're just not yelling and screaming, and you actually can kind of work with your kids in order to kind of help them motivate. And so to begin, I do have to ask you, John.
Can I tell a quick story just to sort of frame what we're talking about?
Yes. Yes, please.
All right. So, you know, in any given situation, you have a couple different choices. Your child has done something that requires a reaction on your part. And in one hand, you've got a cup that's filled with solutions. These solutions, if you sprinkle them on the situation, the situation is going to improve. It's going to put the fire out. In the other hand, you've got a cup, and the techniques that you're going to use there actually act as an accelerant, kind of like fuel, gas. And if you sprinkle that on the situation, you're going to end up with a dumpster fire, right? And so you've got two choices, you know, typically. And so sometimes we react and we just grab the first thing we see, and sometimes it was water and it put the fire out and we're lucky. And sometimes the thing that we grabbed right away was gas, and we thought it was water, but it turns out it was gas, and we've got this big situation. But what you're talking about is really, you know, you've got the situation in hand. You know that you're going to have to do something, and you look to your left, and your left hand is this cup of solutions. And you look at it, and then you look in your right hand, you see, you know, fuel, and you know that it's fuel. And then you look back in your left hand, and you see the water, and then you're drawn to the right hand, because in the right hand is gas. And so you set the water down, and you fling the gas on the situation, and, you know, what do you have? You've got a bigger mess. And sometimes you do the thing that you know isn't going to work. You know that nagging or nattering or yelling or screaming or, you know, poking the bear, you know that it's going to react badly, but we do those things anyway, because sometimes, quite frankly, we're human beings and we get caught up in the moment. But what you have to remember is that even if sometimes flinging a little gas on the situation makes you feel better in the moment, it's always a bigger mess to clean up, and there's always a bigger consequence for you, not for them, but for you. And so if you think about what you want to achieve in that moment, the thing that you want to try and get out of it, and then approach a situation from that perspective, what's the best possible solution I could get coming out of a situation, it absolutely changes the way you interact and interrelate with your kid.
That was spectacular. That was – but the ability to do that is you actually have to stop and think and say, no, I'm not going to throw gasoline on this fire, which is what tonight's all about. So – let's get into this stuff. I do have to ask you, the title Salt the Hay, I had never heard that before. And
well, I have to credit Suzanne Stevens. She is an author out of Winston-Salem. And years ago, you know, she gave me that quote, you can lead a horse to water, but, and she asked me to finish it, you can't make him drink. And she said, that doesn't feel very powerful, does it, John? And I said, no, ma'am, it does not. She said, well, what can you do? And I said, I don't know. What can you do? You know, I was a young pup just coming to the field.
Yep.
I couldn't wait to figure out how to make a horse drink the water that I led him to. And she said, you can make him thirsty. You salt the hay. And it was a shakabuku, a super kick to the head that altered my perception of reality about how to work with kids from that point going forward. And so I thank Suzanne all the time, and I appreciate that concept. Because when we find ourselves in a place of not feeling in control or having any power, it's helpless. And because we're feeling helpless, we react. And because we react, the situation only becomes worse.
Yep. Yep. And John, I'm loving everything you're saying, and you're teeing this up so great. And I think that we all hear metaphorically to salt the hay, there's rewards and there's praise. And those are those automatic kind of go-to things. But you have a lot of other ideas on how you can salt the hay a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you share some of that with us a little bit? Because I think there's a lot more tools in the toolkit than what people realize.
Absolutely. So, you know, a big part of that workshop also was done based on some of the work by Rick Lavoie. And, you know, he is a tremendous advocate for young people with learning disabilities and somebody I've learned a lot from. And he wrote a book titled Motivation, Motivating Unmotivated Kids. And in that book, he spells out that there are really kind of three areas of motivation for several areas of motivation for students. They include praise, rewards, validation, prestige, power and control, and then time and kindness. Now, the basic premise there is, if you are rewarding somebody who really kind of an important part of what they need is your time, your quality of time, and that's how that's their currency, and all you're doing is giving them, you know, praise or prestige, and those things don't matter to them, well, then that's not very motivating. And so part of the assignment that I give parents when they think about this is really take a look at what, you know, what really juices up your kid, what really motivates them. And then based on what they find motivating, you can start to tailor your responses to what they're doing. And you were talking about praise. Praise, there's research out there now that indicates that praise can actually be as harmful as it is helpful. And when I initially tell that to people, they look at me like I've just gone bananas. But it's true. If you praise, and again, a lot of this work is based on Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. But if you praise kids for things they have no control over, like being pretty or smart, then you actually disenfranchise investment from them, because what if, you know, I do something and then you don't think I'm smart anymore? But when you praise kids for things like, you know, effort and stick-to-itiveness and kindness, things they have control over, then that can be incredibly powerful when you are specific with your praise. But if you just say, hey, you know, what a smart kid you are, kids don't have control over how smart they are. They have control over how much energy and effort they put in learning information. And that's a critical distinction, because you certainly don't want to think that you're helping and actually undermining a particular situation.
Yep. Absolutely. John, I need to go to break real quick. And when we come back, I want to talk about, because it just dawned on me that I heard you talk about this in November, and I've actually implemented exactly what you said. I want to kind of share my personal story with that. But before we go to break and come back and kind of go through this stuff, I want everybody I don't have the website on my sheet. John, what's the website, the SOAR website? Is it soar.org?
It's SOARNC, as in North Carolina, .org. So soarnc.org.
And tell our listeners a little bit about SOAR real quick.
Well, we are America's premier adventure program, learning specifically supporting kids with learning and attention challenges. We have a academic school for middle and high school students. We have summer programs that the adventure summer programs that take kids snorkeling, scuba diving, backpacking, rock climbing, whitewater rafting, hiking, horsebacking, surfing, sea kayaking, fishing, all over Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Wyoming, California, Belize,
mm-hmm.
Costa Rica, the Adirondacks. And then we also have a gap year program for young adults that need maybe another year or two of seasoning before they transition into college at our base camp in Wyoming. And we are the largest summer camp in the world that serves this population of kids. And we are one of the most respected programs that serves this population in the United States and abroad. So it's just been a real honor and privilege to be a part of it.
You know, maybe someday you'll start kind of quoting me, because I keep kind of – every time I interview, I keep kind of plugging you, because you make it sound like there's so much fun going on these things. But what I've come to realize as a high adventure scoutmaster is when they're going on these high adventure things, there's a lot of life skills that are being taught, like budgeting and social skills, that these kids don't realize sometimes that they're learning when they kind of do that stuff. And so it sounds like John's like it's really kind of like a – it's like Disneyland, but it's not. There's a lot of learning that's kind of going on in what they're doing. And I think that particularly for kids with ADHD, they get a lot out of these programs. So with that, it's soarnc.org. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with one tired, worn-out John Soar, who is crazy enough to go kayaking or whitewater rafting tomorrow in North Carolina in the wintertime because he's got to get his rush in before he goes to Costa Rica. And we're talking about motivation. Clearly, the man's motivated to do crazy things. But that
well,
being said,
well, first of all, it's whitewater canoeing, which
okay.
makes it even more crazy. And, you know, why not?
Because it's there. Before the break, we were talking about motivation and salt in the hay, and I think you were just – I love to pay attention to attention and the notion of some praise can actually kind of be negative and heartful around kids, things that kids can't control. And my son's a very accomplished soccer player and plays soccer on an international level at 15 years old. And it's funny because I have really, after hearing your presentation, shifted about praising him on the effort – that he exhibits when overcoming obstacles or the mental toughness that he can control, as opposed to he's been very successful with some goal scoring, which requires team members and some other things that he's not necessarily in control. He gets the accolades, but it kind of happens. It's really literally that presentation had changed the way I look at some of this, and I'm kind of grateful for it. And I'm not so sure parents – I think it's an aha moment for a lot of you out there is focus on maybe not that they're so pretty, but the effort they're putting into – that they're smart or the effort they're kind of putting into. So is there anything else that you can say just to accent that? Because I think
yeah,
I think
I,
it's
absolutely.
Worth people –
I can tell you a little bit about the original research that
okay.
that really was so compelling. All right, so
yes.
So Carol Dweck was a school psychologist in New York City, and she took about 200 students, and half of them middle school students, and half of them, you know, she put 100 in a room and the other 100 in the other room, and she gave them each a test. And so at the end of the test, she walked into one room and just told the kids they knocked out of the park. They were the best, brightest, smartest of the class. And that felt real good to those students. In the other room, she walked in and she didn't talk about the results at all. She just simply said, you guys, I mean, the effort, you know, every time you got stumped, you really kept at it. You really gave
yep,
great
yep.
effort. We and the other researchers were watching and we were really impressed. So she then gave the students another exam, all right? And this one was impossibly difficult. She looked at the students that had been praised for being smart, and you could see visible tension. Pencils were breaking. There was a lot of head scratching. I mean, clearly there was a lot at stake
yep.
for them. When you looked in the other room with the group that had been told what tremendous effort they had given, they you know, they seemed much more relaxed. Taking the test, they continued to look at the questions. They worked until the last minute, and it was a much, much less stressful situation. She didn't even tally the scores on that test because it was just information they didn't have yet. 6 months later, she put the group back into the room, and she said, okay, folks, I've gotten to the test. Who wants to take it? Now, the kids who were told they were best, brightest, and smartest, you think they wanted to take that test? Not at all. The kids that had been praised for their efforts, they're like, bring it on, man, bring it on. So all she did was give the original test, the first test that she'd given, all right? And the kids who had been praised for being bright, you saw the same visible kind of stressors that they had when they took that more difficult test. She had created an expectation and anxiety produced and in the other group, the group that had been praised, they continued to plug away just like they had on the more difficult test. But the fascinating thing that she encountered was that when she tallied up the test scores, the students who had been praised for their intelligence, what do you think happened to their test scores? Same test. It dropped. It dropped by
wow.
a significant amount. And the students that had been praised for their effort, what do you think happened to their scores? You guessed it, Jeff. They went up. And so
wow.
that is as clear an example of praise can
yep,
be a destructive
yep.
influence and force when it's used inappropriately or incorrectly. And when you praise, when you set kids up, your son, for instance, if he was praised for being talented and his gifted
yep.
athleticism, he can't control that. All he can
yep.
control is the kind of grit he brings to the table and what he's willing to do. I'm gonna segue, you know, from that to another story about grit, because I think grit is such a key piece to motivation.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful story. So my son, you know, is dealing with ADHD and it kind of struggles
mm-hmm.
and I got a phone call that, you know, he had said that, you know, he wasn't sure he wanted to be alive, and you know, which is a very alarming thing to hear.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I raced home, and you know he was I think in the fifth or sixth grade, and what he had meant to say was, today it really sucked to be me. All right, that was what he was feeling. That today,
mm-hmm.
you know, he wished he wasn't himself. It was a really
yep.
tough day to be him, and it came out a different way. All right, so rather than sort of address that head on, I said, well, come here, buddy. I wanna have you try something, and so. I showed him a flint and steel, and I showed him how to light a fire, and I, you know, we practiced a couple times, and then I gave him all the right tools, and I said, okay, but
mm-hmm.
you can come back inside when you light this fire, and he starts working on it, and it's hard. It's hard to do, and so he worked on it for, you know, 20 minutes. I'm there watching, I'm nurturing
yep,
him,
yep.
and 30 minutes goes by, he starts whining and crying about his fingers hurting, you know, 45
yep.
minutes goes by. And finally he lights a spark and there's this flame and his chest bolted out and his arms jumped up.
Yep.
And he looked like the character from Tom Hanks. Look, I
yep.
made fire. Right? And so he's so proud of what he had accomplished. And I said to him, hey, buddy, how does that feel? And he said, it feels like Christmas morning. And I said, why? He said, because it was hard and because I did it. And I said, that's right.
Yep.
Now, on days when things get hard for you, you have to remember that pushing through and persevering,
yep,
and the effort it takes to kind of grind through it means that when you get on the back end of that, it feels really good. So I said, you know what that's called, Jay? And he said, what's that, Dad? And I said, it's called grit. A few months later, he's a part of a 5K, and he's really slacking off. And
yep,
I come up next to him, and I whispered into his ear, where's your grit? And it lit a fire, and he,
wow,
he ran hard until the end. And from that day forward, when I ask him where's his grit, it helps remind him that there is something inside him that he doesn't always tap into, but there is more effort that he can give. And I think it's just really important for parents to recognize that, and even especially in today, that we have to find ways to nurture our kids' ability to have perseverance, resilience, and that magical essence of grit.
Yep, yep. Great examples. Salt the hay about a little grit, and off they kind of go. It's kind of funny because you're telling that Flint and Steel story, and if you don't mind, I want to take that and leverage that into the prestige and validation and maybe get some clarity. My older son, we were going through Scouts, and I think we're at Boy Scout camp, Daniel Boone, which is in Waynesboro, not that far from you. And
No, that's only 30 minutes, right?
Yeah. So it's right around the corner. And there was this like kind of village area type of thing. And I went there one day and they were doing the flint and steel, and they were giving us the stuff, and they were teaching how to make charred cloth or whatever. And my son was there. And so he learned how to make fire with it. So fast forward about 2 years later, we're on a canoe trip down the Suwannee River between Christmas and New Year's. And we got a bunch of other scouts with us. And my son is sitting there, lighting the fires and stuff like that with a bunch of other scouts who were like, it's like, wow, that's like magic. It's like, wow, how did you do that? And everybody's like going, oh my God. And for that moment, he was like God. And the prestige and the validation and the acknowledgement, everybody come together like, wow, that's a really kind of cool thing. It was kind of cool to see everybody kind of congregate around him. And that was really motivating to my son. Now, I don't know if I'm putting this in the right context, but validation and prestige, or just being noticed for what you do, I think is a very powerful motivator for many. You want to comment on that?
It is a powerful motivator. Now there are some folks who shrink away from that kind of attention, right?
Yep.
My daughter's a wonderful example. She's very shy. She doesn't like a lot of attention, but she loves to dance, all right? And so if she were to dance in front of people, she would just get really shy. But the team needs her, okay? And she's spectacular. And so she's got this move on her dance company where she comes flying off a table, lands on the floor into kind of like a superhero stance, pops up and starts doing some really, really great hip-hop dance. And she does it, and it feels good because she's part of a team. But if you were to focus exclusively on her performance and what she accomplished, she would shy away from that. And so there are some kids that they want that spotlight. They want the attention. They want to be recognized for their abilities. And there are other kids who, you know, the sheer ability and the perseverance and the pursuance of excellence is what they need. And you know, recognizing that she had gotten better and had improved and that she had been put on that front spot, that was all the recognition she needed because it was acknowledgement of her effort versus the validation and the prestige. And knowing your child well enough to know what specifically is going to be that particular motivator is so much a key to this idea of salting the hay.
And so I want to take what you said and make a distinction here, and then we need to kind of run to break. There's so many people I coach, John, adults, because I focus more on that level, that I find they like to be noticed. And I always, when I'm hearing that pattern, I'm saying, you know, do you like to be noticed? And I always say, not the center of attention, but being noticed. And notice can be as much as somebody lifting their eyebrow, you go like, wow, that was really kind of, it's nonverbal, but they got noticed for a smart, insightful comment or something like that. And I think there's a difference between that validation and prestige, because some like to be the center of attention. Like my older son, he puts together the parties at University of Florida for game day, and he likes to be the center of that stuff. That's the center of attention. But sometimes it's just like the, ooh, I noticed that person because they were clever. They were kind of smart. It's not overt, but that can be very motivating to certain people. And if you notice that in your child and you go, wow, you really kind of helped that person over there and validated them, I think can be really helpful. So I want to go to break, but real quickly, any additional thoughts you want to add to that?
I think that's a really astute observation that, but you know, one of the things that I see in so many of our kids is they are helpers, and when they get recognized, when people notice
yes.
that they reached out, they helped, they made a difference, that for that child, that nothing could be more motivating than that. And it's not so much about recognition, but it's the right recognition. You notice that I helped. I made a difference in that kid's life. And when we come back from break, I'll tell you just a really powerful story that kind of hits that home.
Absolutely. So everybody, if you haven't done so already, you need to go soarnc.org. That's for John's organization. They have school, summer camps, GAP program. We have done several interviews with him on all of those topics. So search our archives for Attention Talk. Actually, if you go on the web and go Attention Talk Radio, John Wilson, or if you do that in iTunes, it'll come up. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with John Wilson. We're talking about salt in the hay. I'm one of those people, there's some people like we're talking all over the place, but there is some method to our madness. We're talking about how you can salt the hay. There's praise, there's reward, there's validation and prestige, power and control, and time and kindness. And these are different ways that you can salt the hay to get your team thirsty so that they'll drink the water. And we've been talking about them kind of specifically. We talked about praise. We moved to a little bit of validation, and I want to move to reward and power and control. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about prestige and kind of being noticed a little bit. And I was telling some stories about my son with Rocket Plant. And John, you had a story that you wanted to share. So can you do that now?
Sure. So at our summer camp in North Carolina, we have a high ropes course, which is like a big giant obstacle course, 30 to 45 feet up in the trees. And we had a young man, and he wanted the record. He wanted to be the fastest, and he was. And then he wanted to try and do it blindfolded and backwards on one foot. All right. this was a very gifted kid. And so sure enough, he got up there, and he, in fact, he was able to do it on most of the elements, blindfolded and backwards and hopping on one foot. It was really quite something. Now, I'm going to tell you that was not that young man's greatest accomplishment, nor the one that he thinks about when he looks back on that day. There was another young boy named Timmy in his group, and Timmy was really struggling to just make it up the tree to get to the very first platform. And we were calling out instructions, and he didn't want to hear but anybody, but he wanted to talk to Jimmy. And he said, Jimmy, what do I do? What do I do? Because Jimmy had made it look so easy. And so Jimmy, the crowd silenced. I mean, by this time, this kid had been working at it for a while. The whole, everyone watching silenced, and it was just Timmy's voice talking to little Jim, and he said, okay, you see your right hand? I want you to move it up a little bit to the left, a little bit up, right there. Okay, grab. Did you feel that staple right there? Okay, grab a hold of that. Now I want you to shift your weight. And he talked that little boy up to the top of that platform. Now, it took that little boy so long to get to that platform. And when he got up there, there was a roar and a cheer that went up among the crowd. And everybody, you know, everybody had kind of gutted it out with him. And so here you had one kid who just finished the course record and then did it blindfold, you know, backwards on one foot. And then you had this kid who gutted it up by, you know, just 1 ounce at a time. So a couple years ago, you know, I saw him, and, you know, you'd think he'd say, hey, do I still have the course record? But that's not what he said. He said, hey, Big John, do you remember that time that I was the one that was able to talk that kid up the thing?
Yep,
and
yep.
So when he, you know, so then I called him into my office, all right? This is really remarkable. I called him into my office. Now, this kid was, he was a little, he could be a little bit of a troublemaker. He was rambunctious. You know, he was your classic ADD kind of kid. And I called his mom, and right there he's in the office, and I'm telling his mom what he just did. Tears, you know, the mom said, this is the first time anyone has ever called me to tell me something he'd done right. His most significant moment was not only that he's the one that talked that kid up, but that it meant so much that the director – had to take him into his office and call his mom to tell him how successful he had been.
Wow.
Now, I submit to you that when you recognize, when you find a way to make that kind of a moment count, it would be really easy to blink and focus exclusively on, you know, on what the other young man had done.
Yep.
But when you take the moment to maximize that kind of opportunity with a kid, you know, parents, we all miss them. We miss them all the time. And so we have to be looking for them, and we have to be ready to jump on them the moment we can. You know, and it's just really, really powerful. So, I get choked up every time I think about that story.
So the remember, parents out there, this is a self-regulation thing for you to kind of pause and not throw gasoline on that fire and kind of back up and watch your kids – and notice them. And John, you talk about really kind of, you talk about a concept of understanding your kid's currency, whether it's praise for the effort or the great story that you just told about, it wasn't about him breaking the record so much about him helping somebody else or the being noticed or the center of attention or those types of things. And if you can begin to understand your child's currency, that will give you a tip on how to salt the hay. And I'm teeing this all up because you have a great story, because this is not that long ago that you were actually struggling with a kid and you were trying to notice what this kid's currency was. And there's a pocket knife story that there's a little bit of, to me, there's a little bit of reward in here and a power and control. Can you tell us about that story and illustrate it and,
sure.
and
I,
your
I was,
own
it,
struggle about how you had to pause and think and really kind of watch and connect with this kid and not throw gasoline on the fire, but actually just kind of meet that kid where he was? Because I think it's a great story that will illustrate a lot of what we're talking about.
So this is about 25 years ago.
Right.
And I was a young instructor at Solar, hiking the Appalachian Trail as on the very first semester course that we did that. And there was one young man, Nathan, and he was just giving me fits. I just couldn't get him figured out. And so at one point I was on the phone with our then founder, executive director and founder, Jonathan Jones. And I said, Jonathan, I don't remember this being this hard. I just can't figure this kid out. And Jonathan said to me, John, you know this, it's simple. There is something in this kid's life that matters to him more than anything else. And you just got to figure out what his currency is. And once you figure out what that currency is, you have to work with him to make sure that you're using that currency in the most powerful and effective way possible. Now it's your job to go figure out what it is. So I start watching Nathan, you know, for 3 or 4 days. And I realize the thing that Nathan cherished the very most in all the world was his pocket knife. Now, truth in advertising, you know, that was a long time ago. And now pocket knives aren't allowed at SOAR, but for the nature of the story. So he had this wonderful pocket knife, and it meant a lot to him. And he was careful with it, and he kept it clean. And he knew how to use it. I mean, it was his prized possession. It was his precious. All right. And so I said, hey Nathan, listen, if you're going to treat other folks with disrespect and discourtesy and not do the things that we need from you, then that knife is a privilege, and you're going to lose it until you start doing it. He said, you can't take away that knife. And I said, well, I can, but let me tell you something. If you will treat us with courtesy and you'll follow through and you'll show us the same kind of respect that you've been showing the way you handle that knife, and trust me, you understand what a tremendous tool that is, and I really respect your knife handling abilities. Well, but that's what you have to do, because that's the kind of thing that goes with the responsibility that comes with carrying a pocket knife. Jeff, it was a game changer. It was a absolute game changer with that young man. And the times that I did have to remove the knife from his possession, I made sure that they were very short periods of time, because I needed him to have that knife, because that knife was his mm-hmm. his currency. And, you know, he had to make decisions about whether or not he was going to conduct himself in an appropriate manner based on whether the juice was worth the squeeze. And the squeeze was losing his prized possession for a period of time. And it absolutely was a game changer.
So there's a little bit of reward by having him have the pocket knife, but a little bit of power and control in here a little bit. And because you have the power and control to do this, because you were laying out the clear expectations and the accountability, and that was his currency, and it was a game changer just because you began to listen to what was motivating for that particular child, and then you were able to salt the hay, and voila.
Well, I framed it very specifically in ways that, you know, that accounted for you earn time with this knife based on your conduct and what you can do.
Yep.
I think that power and control can be a critical aspect, and I do want to give you another example of a really great power and control idea that a lot I've encouraged families to do this, and every time a family has tried it, it's been wildly successful. You know,
I'm good with that as long as I'm great with this as long as you can run over for me. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I commit to you like an hour, but this is good stuff, so please tell the story.
Okay, kids who really get energized by being in control, by having some power, and for some kids it's very little. I recommend to families that you know that as a rule it's really a good thing to have a family date night, you know, where you go do a fun thing. But what if you turn that family date night and turn the complete power of that over to your child and said, okay, this is your budget. You get to figure out where we go to eat, how we're going to get there, the activities that we're going to do. You are in control. Well, for a kid whose motivation is power and control, that is going to be like catnip.
Yep.
So I thoroughly and strongly encourage families to consider finding ways where kids can be in control of certain situations that really benefit from that, because as they get a chance to practice that, they're practicing things like responsibility. And it matters more to them. So I appreciate you giving me the chance to share that.
Absolutely. I want to, at some point in time before we wrap this up, I want to get to the rent versus own concept that you have. But we've talked about praise. We've talked about reward, validation, control. Time and kindness is one that I'd like to kind of touch base on, because those with ADHD, many times – I'm going to digress for a second. Many of them are verbal processors. They need to kind of think out loud, and they just need somebody to listen to them, not to solve their problems, but just to hear them. And when I say hear them, to get them and kind of understand them. And a lot of times it's really just to help kind of help them process, at least in my opinion, because I'll be interested in your kind of thoughts on this. And I think it's really hard parents in this, you know, this overtaxed world of information, just sometimes to sit down in a room with nothing going on and actually just listen to your kid, to hear what they're saying, not try to fix them, not try to correct them, just kind of go, wow. My sense is that's really pretty motivational, because I know I do a lot of mentor coaching, and I talk to the coaches about when clients come to us for the first time, if you're the first one that just listens to them and tries to understand them and get them, like, oh my God, I get what you're saying. You kind of had them at hello, because nobody's ever taken the time to understand that. And I might be misinterpreting this time and kindness or something like that, but just as a parent, sometimes just to spend the time and get them, to me, can be very motivational. Thoughts?
Absolutely. And that is a little bit different spin than what I had spoken about, but no less accurate. And I think just having a chance to be mindful and quiet and listen to your kids can be really quite compelling. When I think about time and kindness, you know, I think about noticing. I think about, you know, a kind word. I think about a special activity that kids like to do. Now, the Wilsons here, we have a very special thing that we do. Each year, my wife and I and our kids have a family vacation, all of us together. But we also, each year, I will do something exclusively with my son, and I will do something exclusively with my daughter, and my wife will do the same thing. And we just dedicate invested time with that child. And we make sure that it allows you to see them in a very different light. It certainly emphasizes the love and caring that we have, and invest fully and solely in them. And that can be such a powerful tool especially for those kids that find that motivating, that opportunity to have your undivided attention doing something that, you know, that they love too, that is just really important. It honestly is one of the best things that my wife and I do as parents for our children.
There was a guy I knew years ago, like probably 20 years ago in the insurance business. He used to tell me how every Wednesday night he took his one kid at a time out to dinner, just the two of them. And he would just sit there, and so all I did was just sit there and listen to him. I'd ask him questions only to get him to talk.
It was
powerful. He told me that story, and I came back and I was telling him that story about how I told somebody else, and he actually began to weep in front of me, because it was like, it was such a special thing. It was kind of transformational. It was absolutely amazing. So just for brevity here, because I'd like to have a long pause on that for people to kind of soak it in, but you're such a great interview, and I just some concepts I want to get across. Can you talk about the concept when it comes to rewards of the whole rent-to-own concept? Because I think that's something that's probably – I like how you kind of framed it out. It's a different way of paying attention to things. So can you share that with us?
Sure. So, you know, let's say for a birthday you give a kid a gift, all right? Well, that's theirs, all right? And you can take it away, but there's some nasty lessons there. And in today's society, you know, video games and computer time are the real motivators for our kids. And so an idea that really kind of blossomed for me a few years ago was, you know, there's a lockbox, and inside that lockbox are the video games, all right? They're not yours. They're mine. I own those games. But with your positive behavior and your willingness to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish, you can rent time with those games. And so let's say that you finish your homework and you've, you know, done your chores. Well, you get an hour that's worth a token of an hour of time with whatever game you want. But when the game is over, that goes back in the lockbox, and you can participate in those games. You know, I just thought of a wonderful quote. You know, when trying, because what you really want to do is you want kids to get through the hard stuff in order to get to the reward. If they're very reward based, and if it belongs to them, it's very different than you get to rent time with this. And if you get to rent time with it, it's a much easier way to say, you know, frame things in the positive. Positive gets this versus I will take away, which, by the way, just is not nearly as an effective piece of parenting. You know, working towards something is always much more powerful than having something removed because you were unproductive or uncooperative. But I hosted a staff meeting yesterday, and my quote was a wonderful quote. It was from Mark Twain. And the quote was, if it's your job to eat a frog, best thing to do it in the morning. And if you have to eat two frogs, eat the biggest one first. Just trying to throw that in there.
I've never heard that.
That was an ADD moment.
That's spectacular.
You know,
so this
that's
is going to
be the title of my next workshop.
Oh, my God. So this is Attention Talk Radio. It's all about how you pay attention to it. And that rent-to-own thing is if they own it, you're taking away. If they rent it, then it's positive that you do this, that you give it to them. We haven't changed the outcome. We've just changed the way you pay attention to it. And I should have framed this out for a sequel, but I have a story that I want to tell that I want to about how maybe to tell your kids' currency. This is a funny story of my uncle, and I'll be anxious to hear your reaction to this, John. Is my uncle was really ticked off one time because the kids weren't doing anything, so he took all the toys, everything away, and what the kids had to do, they had to do chores to earn them back, and it was. It was a profound lesson that was communicated through my mother, is that you really learned what the kids' currencies was because they did what they needed to do to get the real toys that they mattered. And he said they worked to get 25% of the toys back, but 75% they never expended the effort. And it gave them a real insight on what their currency was. So I'm just kind of interested in your thoughts and the context of what we're talking about as a way to determine what your kid's currency is.
I love that, by the way. What you'll sometimes find, though, is that when that currency is out of sight for a little while, it stops mattering. And there are some kids who are so tough that even if it was their currency and then you figured out that it was their currency, they will make it not their currency anymore because they don't want you to have, you know, they don't want you to have that power over them. And so you've got to find different and new ways to motivate that child because they're so power and control motivated. But I love that. And, you know, I'm also a big believer, you know, talking about they only try and earn 25% of their stuff back, that the noise of stuff can be really distracting and unmotivating.
The noise of stuff. Tell me more about that.
The you know, kids are surrounded by so much crap.
Yep.
You know, my son has got junk in his room, and so, you know, once a year we will take everything out of his room and he's got to put it into four piles. I want to keep this, I want to give this away, I want to throw this away. I'm not sure yet about this stuff. All right, and so we, you know, a lot of the stuff gets gone, and then we go back to the I'm not sure about pile, and very little of it will go back into his I want to keep pile, and then all of a sudden he can just breathe a little easier. There's not that clutter. The clutter and stuff gets in the way of being able to kind of be free about what you want to do and accomplish, and you just feel the weight of all that junk. And so I find that incredibly unmotivating. And so we do that with him once a year. And right now all of my daughter's nonsense is in the bathtub, and we're cleaning out, painting her room, and giving her a chance to do exactly the same thing.
Wow. Wow. So the ADHD coach in me is kind of coming out, and I want to try to pull this together for parents. And John, I'll be interested in your comments on this. When your kids are kind of going through the phases of life, what motivates them when they're 12 is different from 14, which is different from 16 and different from 18 tactically in terms of the label. But what I've learned as a coach, John, is that what's behind it, the characteristic of whatever it was when they were 12, 14, 16, and 18 doesn't change. So if it is praise for effort, whatever you were praising them for effort when they're 12, 14, 16, and 18, it's still praise. It's not necessarily power and control. Or if it's power and control, there's that characteristic to whatever it is that changes through the seasons of the team that's consistent. And if you can observe and put it in one of these buckets, it really kind of helps you filter what to look for as they change. So my older son, it's all about being noticed in the center of attention. And as he graduated through that, as I used to say, he was the – he's a – My younger son is a great athlete because he's into sports. My older son is gifted, but it's really all about the party. And he would migrate through the sports and did, you know, relatively well. But it was really about that stuff. And I began to learn at one point in time it was the currency of the, him being the center of attention. And so I'm interested in your thoughts because the characteristic of what's there helps you identify what it is as they transition from one stage to the next. You want to share your thoughts? You could think I'm smoking crack, but I just want to kind of share that stuff because if you're looking at what they're paying attention to and the nature of it, it can kind of help you hone into it and transition.
When I was a boy, what mattered to me was, you know, what people thought of me, and that I was being kind to people and being helpful. I'm an adult. The same thing still matters. I absolutely agree. I think technology has changed that to a degree that many kids are motivated by time with technology, and that seems to be very present when they're 12, 14, 16. But there are going to be other things that ebb and flow and come in and out of that motivation for them. But you are very right. You are who you are. And so if praise matters to you when you're 12, it's still going to matter when you're 16. It might change who that praise is coming from that matters significantly, but it's still going to matter. If validation mattered to you when you were 12, it's probably still going to matter when you're 18, 22, you know, 30. And so so even though the subtlety of what works and doesn't work is it's like shifting sands, and one day it works and another day it doesn't. The core and essence and the foundational principles behind what worked are still going to be there because, you know, we are who we are and we become sort of the essence of who we are at a very young age.
Yep. Absolutely. So just to kind of summarize a little bit of tonight, I heard John with this salting the hay presentation back in November. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant because I think John's brilliant to begin with, but he articulates it so well. And what I hoped that we conveyed tonight is your ADHD kids struggle with self-regulation. And as a parent, I think that you can identify with the struggle of self-regulation because so often you have that cup of gasoline that you throw in the fire. And we hope that we have talked about enough ways that you can solve the hay that will give you the opportunity to pause as an adult and not reach for the gasoline and begin to observe your child and really understand what their form of currency is, hone that stuff in and be a little bit more effective. Because at the end of the day, earlier in this presentation, you mentioned Rick Lavarge, who he was the first keynote speaker that I ever heard. He had a great story, which I won't bore you with right now because it was spectacular. And from that moment and through a few other interviews I've had, I began to realize kids do what they do because they're motivated to do what they do. As Dr. Olivardi told me, you'd be dead if you weren't motivated. So everybody is motivated. The issue really is you're trying to get your kid to motivated to do what you want them to do. And the best strategy you got is to salt the hay. And we hope that we've given you some strategies to pause and to begin to realize your kid's very motivated. That's why they do what they do. But we hope we've given you some ideas on how to salt the hay. And the key is to witness their currency and salt it with their currency. With that, anything left to add?
I really love validation. So if you like this, let me know.
And you can do that by going to soarnc.org. I'm sure you got to click contact me or something like that. Is that right, John?
Man, you can call the phone number or my email address is bigjohn, BIGJOHN at soarnc.org.
There you go. So with that, John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jeff, it is always a pleasure. I really appreciate you and what you've meant to the field.
Well, hey, you know, I appreciate you. You're brilliant. You know, I love what you do. I know I love the impact, and I have to acknowledge that. And so, everybody, we hope you've enjoyed this. John, thank you for coming on the show, and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Yep.
If you find yourself in a pinch, give me a call, Jeff. That was a lot of fun.